I would like to introduce my name. Maybe you all read what my name is, but some of you may have missed it. My name is Donia Chanza. I'm a proud mother of 5 amazing kids. Yes. So in here, I have my firstborns, Grace and Mapalo. I'd like you to stand up. Apparently, Grace may have stepped out. So my kids completed their grade 12 last year, and I'm proud to say we are a family that believes at whatever stage in our lives, we all have to go to Rhema, and they are first years in Rhema right now. We gave them a gap year. We had told them that we're going to give them a gap year for Rhema before they go to college, but it looks like that is not going to happen. They'll go all the way up to second year and graduate before they go to university. And we're so thankful to God for that. Yes, so I would like to thank all of you to come here and listen to what God is going to say through me. The one thing you should all understand is that as we all are seated and I'm standing here, this is a learning session for all of us. I do not know everything. You may ask me questions that I would not be able to answer, but we're all learning. And as we keep on going in the Word, we'll sharpen one another with words that are sharpening one another. So to start with, before I introduce my topic, I would like to ask 2 ladies to quickly come to me. Yes. Their step to come is actually an introduction to my sermon today. It's about faith. These 2 ladies that walked up to me didn't even know why I called them. But to be very honest, these ladies earned themselves bars of chocolate. Yes, 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 please take your seats. That was just a test to see if we can still walk in faith without knowing exactly what is ahead of us. So that is the beginning and the introduction of what we're here for today. My title of the sharing that we're going to have is titled Anchored in Faith, Embracing the Power of Trust. Most of us may have been born again for a very long time and we know exactly what faith is. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 speaks about faith being the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that we do not know. And we memorize that verse. We speak about it so many times, but what does it entail? So we will start faith by just giving a few flesh to the skeleton faith so that we can understand faith and what this is all about. So I'm going to tell you something about me. When I was asked first about what I was going to share on, I'm a person that is so deep in faith. I do not believe in impossibles. I always believe I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I can tell you that from where I'm coming and where I am today, the evidence of God's word being true, you can see it in my life. You may not know me, but people who know me know that there's nothing that I cannot do which God has promised. There's nothing that I can do that which God hasn't promised. So we are going to speak about what faith is. We know it's the assurance of things hoped for. What does that entail? What it entails us is that if you are going to walk in faith, you must walk with a set of principles that you already know. You are walking out in faith based on the things that you already know. Faith is like a room with no chairs or a place, a vast area where you are standing and you've been told on the other side is a place where you're going to find refuge. And with faith, you already know it's there. That's what faith is like. And you're hoping to get there. I'm standing here and I'm hoping to get there. But is that good enough? Is hoping good enough? So when you understand what faith is and know what is on the other side, you need to take steps that are going to take you to the other places. And what do you do first? The first thing that you're going to do is know what the Word of God says. Excuse me just for a minute. You need to have a relationship with God. And by having a relationship with God, it means you will have to know what God's Word says about every situation in our lives. God has provided solutions for all of us in this life. Everything is jam-packed in that book called the Bible. It is there, and we all need to know what it says for us to live a victorious life. I like what Sarah was speaking about, papers. When we were all coming up with these topics, we didn't know that at some point they will all interconnect. To be able to stand up from your bad situation and do something about it, you have to put your faith in action. But you have to know that God says that when Christ died for me and I accepted him as my Lord and personal Savior, I became a new person. But what are the realities of a new person in Christ Jesus? Everything that we are and we do in life is as a result of the principles that we've put in action and our belief system. And our belief system should always be comprised of the truth of God. We can't live a life that is full of faith without the Word of God. Therefore, it is very important that we deepen our relationship with God. We have to listen to what God says about certain situations in our lives. But then we are so busy that sometimes we don't even take a moment to read the Word of God. And then when we find ourselves in a situation, we pray and pray and pray and pray. Nothing happens, and we think God, we even quote things like, the answers of God is yes and amen. This one is not an amen. Probably that's not what is meant for me. But what have we done? Do we know what God says about our situations? I always tell my kids, I look at the Word of God and my heart being the barn. So you store the words of God in there for your lifetime. And one day when a drought comes, you will need to go and get, you need to get something out of the barn to live with. So grow your relationship with God. It is the first point in which you will live out your faithful life. So once that is done, when we know what God says and speaks about our lives, we have to put it in action. The Bible is very clear in Romans 10 verse 17 that faith without works is dead. And the Bible also speaks about us hearing the word of hearing and hearing for us for faith to grow. But if we are going to proclaim and say we are women who are full of faith, and do nothing about it, we will declare, I receive it a million times and nothing is going to change in our lives. Faith is meant to activate. The Word of God speaks about the Word of God being a light and being active. Anything active can move and it brings change. But if you find that your situations are not changing, just know that you are the problem and not God. Because Sarah Kamoto, this is what I like. He said God also watches over his word, you know? We have to know that God has completely done it. When we say no, God is going to do it for me. No, he already has done it. You just haven't done much about it yourself. So I remember many years back, my kids were at a secondary school. I could tell that my kids were smart, but then it was unstable. Today, here, tomorrow, there. Today, my other daughter was very good in science. The other one today is best student in history. Tomorrow, nothing, just like that. I kept telling them, and when I pushed them, they sometimes complained to their dad and said, Mom is always pushing us. But I could see the capacity in them. And I knew for sure that God has given them capacity. So we moved them to another school, and they were there for 2 years because of COVID. Both of them, it was so amazing how they all flourished to a certain level that one of them was even the best performing student of being 2 years in that school for grade 12. What I'm trying to tell you is that when you put it in action, the things that you've learned of God, you will see so many changes coming into your life. People will not understand what is happening to you unless they also understand who you carry inside. The word of God will never change for you if you do not know it. It will not change for anyone if you do not know it. And the other thing that we are supposed to be doing as we walk in this faith, we have to overcome obstacles. Obstacles are there in life. There are a lot of challenges that we face every day. But faith enables us to persevere through the difficulties that we face. We know in those circumstances that God's word is final and he has said it and done it all in Christ Jesus. When we walk in faith and when we meditate on the word of God, we begin to become more like Christ-like. In Revelation 19 verse 13, the word of God says that Jesus Christ was draped in a bloody cloth and his name was the word of God. So every time we go to the word of God, we are becoming Christ-like. And the more you deepen your relationship with God, the more Christ-like you will be. Jesus Christ, as a human on earth, he faced all the challenges that we face today. And sometimes we thought he was much more special as a human being. No, he was limited like us. He was limited like us. He didn't know exactly what was going to happen to him when they were taking him to the cross. He knew that the time has come for him to get to the cross for us, but he didn't know exactly what steps would be taking, the beating, the thorny crown. He didn't know that because he was limited. Yet in his humanness, the Bible says he didn't sin. And do you think that if we became so intimate with God and knew him at a deeper level, we will not be like Christ in any way? We will be. We will be. So many years ago, I used to work for a mining company. And everybody that saw me thought I was having it all good, eh? Like it was a luxurious kind of job. I was here like Lusaka every day. Sometimes I would be on a private plane by myself. The company would put me on a private plane by myself, and I would be in Lusaka. But as I was going through that, my husband had come to Rema. He stopped his work and came to Rema, meaning I was the only person that was working at that time. And in that instant, God spoke to me about stopping work as well. So the kind of business that we were to undertake meant that I had to sit for the exam. And if we passed, we were going to start running the company. So the exam date was set for the 26th of October. I've forgotten the year. When was you born? Huh? My son was born in 2015. So, and I was heavily pregnant. And in all those times, I went to speak to my boss and I told her, when I give birth, I'll just come back for a month to hand over and I'm stopping work. And she told me, but how could you, Donia? Your husband just went into Bible school, meaning you're the only one working. Your kids are in certain schools where you need the fees. And sometimes when you don't have the money, the company would come in and give you an advance and you're going to stop work. I think you really need to think about it. And I was very convinced when I left that place that it wasn't the right thing to do. But when I went back home, God kept speaking to me about it. So I called her back and I said, you know what, I'll still go ahead with my decision and I would like to test God at his word. I believe so much in what God can do and has done, and I've seen him come through for me. So let me trust him for the bigger things. So on the 24th of October, my son was born, right at just 10 minutes before midnight. And I had to sit for the exam on Monday. And trust me, that was my last pregnancy. I had bad stomach cramps. Very bad cramps. But I told myself, because God has already told me it's a done deal, I bought Panadols and I popped them as I wrote the exams. My stomach was in pain. That was like a day after I'd given birth. I was in pain. But I got myself some Panadols and I popped them one after the other. And my husband was in the car with our one-day baby. And I sat for that exam for 6 hours. And after I was done, the following day I had to go for another one. And trust me, through it all, I had so much strength and were able to get the license, which we thank God for. What I'm trying to tell you is that from that time that we stopped work, God has been faithful. Before we even started running our own company, we would sign contracts on how we're going to pay the school fees. We would go to the school and speak to them and tell them, no, we've got four kids in here. Can you at least draft a contract on how we'll split the school fees? But when we walked in faith and trusted God, we don't do those things anymore. God has been able to provide himself. He's our provider. And promotion doesn't come from any one of us. It comes from God. And when we went to Rema, we learned that the only way to do business is to do it with the fear of God. Money should come secondary to the service that you give. And the service that you give should be excellent. And for 4 or 5 years, I sat under Pastor Haley, and she was mentoring, and she was mentoring. And sometimes I would drag my feet, honestly. 14 hours I have to be here. I drag my feet. But I'm telling you, it's been worth it. Because in our sector of business, if you speak of people and ask them, which person can do this work for us, people recommend us, even people that we do not know. And our business requires you that as our client, you have to send your money in our account in order for us to execute your business, to execute the business on your behalf. People who find us on the internet are able to send money to us without even knowing us. But it's taken a walk of faith, knowing God better and trusting God that even where we are today, he has purpose for us and we are growing. And we've been deliberate in also trying to scale up our excellences, our belief system, and all the other things that have to do with business. We have to learn. We have to go to school. My husband had to go to school. And he was doing it from the U.S. online. I would be sleeping at 3, he would be in class. And then at 6, he has to be at Rema, or he has to be in the office. It all takes knowing what exactly the word of God says for you to act upon it. That's why it's very important that you, when you face challenges in it all, just know that God has got you covered. You've got to speak what the word of God says. And as you speak, do exactly what you're supposed to do to get out of that situation. Challenges are there. We face challenges in our business, most of them. But then because of knowing what the word of God says and trusting who God is, we've been able to sail through them. Yes, sometimes we come out with bruises, but we're not dead. That means we have a life to continue doing what God wants us to do. In this world, there's a lot of certainty, but faith provides us with steadfast hope. When we know what the word of God says, we will not be shaken. You know that God gives a peace that surpasses human understanding, eh? Sometimes you'd find yourself in a boiling pot, but then you may have date up to there, and then you realize it shouldn't have been like that. While in there, people are calling you, asking you to pay their money, and you started working towards sorting out you will sleep. And some people will even get annoyed that you owe me money, but you're sleeping. But they do not know. They have no idea that it's because of what you have inside. So faith gives us a steadfast hope. It helps us to look beyond our present situations and our circumstances, and it also points us to God. The promises of God are eternal. It means they've got no expiry date. So even if you had any doubts before you came here, I want to tell you and to encourage you that the promises of God are still the same. And they are for you. And they are for you. You know, sometimes we wonder that as Christians, we live a life below the standard of God. And those in the world, hey, they're having it all. But do you know that they may have an idea what the word of God says and they leave it out? They don't sleep. They go out and work. It's a very sad situation, and you may agree with me. There are a lot of young men who have a lot of godly potential to flourish. But then the mindset that is in there actually disadvantages them in that they know what the word of God says, but they do not act upon it. They spend years and years and years believing and trusting God without doing anything about it. And yet, a person who's got 7 girlfriends out there, doesn't even care about what God's word says, is flourishing. We as women are supposed to be the change that we need to be in order to influence the world there. We were told we are the nurturers of our children and our men. We should be women when we walk out there in faith. People should know they belong to God. They are Christ-like. We should love one another. The word of God says that just by love, that's when the people out there will know that we are disciples of Jesus Christ. But then, we women have got a problem, myself included. Jane will come to me and will need help. And we are Christians. We are tongue-speaking people. And when we speak tongues, these walls will shake. But then, do we help one another in walking in faith? Do we love our fellow women enough to help them to know what the word of God says? I'll come to your house and I'll be like, hey, you know what, Jen? What Pamela has done to me. And you even say, what has she done? That one, I knew she's like that. I knew she's like that. And the stories change. What I'm trying to tell you is that when we come to one another, sometimes women, we can't just help it, eh? It is wrong, but we can't help it sometimes. When I come to you like that, just point me back to what we're supposed to do to make a difference in this world, in Christ Jesus, and give God the glory. Because we were created for God's pleasure. And when glory is given unto Him, it makes God feel good. You also know that when your child or your husband does something that is very good, you feel good. It's the same thing with God. We are created in His image. God wants us to have a successful life like we were told. He wants us to be successful, not in terms of money, no, only in terms of every area of our lives, including our children, including being friends to one another, including being sisters to our own family. And we should be a difference in our families. We come to church all the time. We are here every Sunday. But the family, your family, as in your biological family, doesn't even count you as a Christian. Are you living out a life that is pleasing to God? Are you walking out in faith and proving it? Hey, I'm a child of God here. Because faith is not just limited to material things. Faith is a big sphere of all the aspects of life. It covers it. As women, I think it's about time that we made a difference. This conference is coming back next year. Are we going to be people who are going to listen to what we've been taught today, pack it in our living free bags and forget about it? Or we're going to be people who will go back and make impact. I'm a very, very confident woman. I'm nervous today somehow, but I'm a very, very confident woman. Every time I have a case in our company, and I don't even know the person that I'm going to meet, I would always encourage myself to leave my office and go there. And I tell myself, if I'm going to go there in faith, I'm coming back with a solution. When they tell me, no, this is an issue that I'm unable to sort out for you, you have to go to such and such an office, and that's a higher office. And I even know when I'm going there that there are circumstances that may block me. I do not have an appointment. And they do not know me. And there are tendencies for us in this world, but the tendencies of us trying to ignore certain people that we do not know or they do not have a name. But the fact that we're God's children, that is confidence enough for us to go there. So for me, that has been my like my platform. I always tell myself, I'm a child of God. Even if that minister or that president doesn't know me, I'm going to go there and I'm going to walk in there. Shoulders high, head up. Why? Because I'm Christ-like. I'm a child of God. What I carry inside of me is greater than that which is in the world. So I always take my steps. I always remind myself, faith is about going. Faith is about going. This solution that you have, this problem that you have here isn't going to be taken care of by you sitting in the office. And God placed you in this position so that you can give solution to the glory of His name. And if you will not walk out in faith, take action and go out and look for a solution, God's name will not be glorified. But all the time, when people walk in your office, you have a big poster saying, Jesus is the Lord. A big poster. When you walk in my office, it's so big. It's the biggest of all paintings. Because we always want to tell a story of who we are. But are we leaving it out? It doesn't matter where the blockage is. I will always go because I know I have Christ in me and I know what the word of God says. God promises me so many things. And He even tells me, I've given you the Holy Spirit who's going to remind, to give you what to say. Even when you don't know, be assured that you're going to say the correct things because we are living in a time when the Holy Spirit lives in us. So when we do whatever we do, it's by the strength of God. It's by His grace. And we do it out of faith. We step out of faith knowing that this is what God has said. And He will not fail us. That's the God that we serve. He never fails. We live in a world which is broken. Trouble and tribulations will come. And we should be of good cheer because Jesus Christ overcame. Sometimes we would not get what we want to go to get. It doesn't change the fact that God did it. It doesn't change anything. We are just in a world where there are different systems that are clashing with the godly systems that we know. The other thing, how are we going to cultivate and strengthen our faith? How do we cultivate and strengthen our faith? So we are going to be praying at all times and listening to the word of God. The Bible speaks about faith coming by hearing and hearing and hearing of the word of God. It means it's a continuous process. You will not hear the word of God today at this conference. And tomorrow you pack your things. In order for you to achieve those that God has brought you here for, you have to continue hearing and hearing and hearing. And not just hearing, you also have to pray and listen to God. Because sometimes we think praying or hearing is just getting a sermon. Oh, blah, 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 blah. Oh, I've done my part today. We have to take time and hear God. And God, our relationship with God and God revealing, God getting revealed in our lives is based on us. How much time are we giving God so that we can develop our relationships with Him? Even in marriages or in boyfriend and girlfriend relationship, we get disappointed if a boyfriend calls you, a husband says, I'm coming now, just give me 10 minutes. Up to the following day, they don't show up. I don't know about you, but me, I experienced it. My husband right now, and I held it against him for a very long time. For some years when we were younger, we've been together for 28 years. In our young 8 days, my husband would call me. I'm busy maybe having a chat or a good time with my friends within the school premises. He would call me and say, hey, where are you? And I'd be like, I'm in Yendo's room or something. He says, I'm just around the corner. Please get to your room, I'll be coming. I swear I'd sleep, he wouldn't show up. I would sometimes sleep, he wouldn't show up. And I'm trying to call him. He's not reachable. But he's an amazing husband now. He grew up and we have an amazing relationship. But I always got upset in the beginning of our marriage. I'd think about it and I'll just stop talking. And he'll be like, what's happening? And I'll be like, you did. And he would tell me, hey, Donia, I'm a new creation. I'm in Christ Jesus. I don't know why you're living in the past. I'm not with you in the past. I am so changed. You know, so the point that I was trying to drive is that when you spend so much time together and you commit in knowing God, you will see that walking in faith and doing what God has asked us to do in order for us to attain that which He has promised us is easy. it will be very, very easy. Sometimes we'll get discouraged because we live in a broken world, but that doesn't change what God has intended for you. So we need to be studying on a regular basis. We need to commune out our hearts and pour it out to God. We need to be a generation of women that were like Deborah, Hannah, Esther. And I wonder, let me just ask a question. The women in the Old Testament had no Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. How come they were able to do greater things than us? But did you also look at the pattern of those women? They took time off to speak to God. They took months to speak to God. They dedicated them. They didn't do anything. They were not speaking to God with a phone here. Tin, tin, tin. You are praying. You look. You open one eye to look who's calling you. They dedicated their time to God, and they understood that their time and relationship with God was very important. It was a matter of life and death. And it is even in this dispensation. It's a matter of time and death. Because the Bible is very clear on which people will not see heaven, in certain ways that we live. And sometimes we miss marks, not because we want to, but because we do not know better. But then we can only know better if we understand exactly what the Word of God says. And our authority is all in Christ Jesus, eh? We have so much authority, ladies. The Bible speaks of us seated in heavenly. We are here right now, but I'm telling you, our authority is in heavenly places because we sit with Christ there. We sit with Christ there. There's a Bible verse that I like using from the Old Testament. When people, I'm not so sure what it says, but it's when people say there's a cast down, we say there's a lifting up. I use that Bible verse in so many circumstances, even in some circumstances that I doubt if it applies, but it also gives me strength to say, no matter what things bring me down here, for me, I'm up here because Christ is seated in heavenly bodies with me, and I operate in the authority of what Christ did. That's what we operate in as Christians. When Christ said it was finished, it was finished. Everything is done. Fialipwa, vasila. If you find yourself in situations where you still feel like Christ needed to go back to the cross to do it again for you, you do not know who Christ is and who God is. And you need to revisit. You need to revisit your time of prayer and meditation. Your relationship with God is questionable. And I'm going to be very honest with you. Sometimes I find myself in those situations. But then I always tell myself, a righteous man will fall 7 times, and so he'll rise. But I don't know how many times I've risen and fallen. I've stopped counting, but I always say 7 times. I'm telling you, I always say 7 times. I don't know how many times. But the most important thing is to rise and walk again, because God is forgiving. The sins that we had before, that we have now, and future ones, Christ already paid for them. But that doesn't give us the license to continue sinning. So when we fail to meet the standards of God, we'll never meet it, by the way. None of us is perfect. But when we fail to walk in what God has called us to do, we should not get discouraged. We should rise up again and begin to relearn. I just realized so many years ago when I became a Christian, like a year ago, I had so much content when it came to the Word of God. And then I wanted to speak about something. I couldn't even remember the Bible verse. And I questioned myself, and I was very honest. You have to be honest with yourself. I questioned myself and I asked myself, what could have caused this? And then I realized I was keeping the wrong company. There are people who've been my friends for 38, 40, 50, 40, 38, whatever years, and oh, it's not about the time frame that they've been your friend. It's about quality. I kept entertaining them because they've been my friends from the time we were young, but they were the wrong friends because they didn't believe in the same principles that I did. They didn't think that it was very important to walk in the, box of what the Word of God wants us to live. When you try and speak to them about this cannot be done, holier than thou. Nangai iwe paja. But those are things that we've walked out of. You know, we are a new creation. All of us are going to fail at some point, but we should be able to, as women, extend the hand to lift up the other person. We should help one another. And this also brings me to a question, is how the second point of communion with believers. The Bible speaks to us about not yoking with unbelievers, and it's just not about marriage. It's about also the circles that you keep. We are called to live in community with believers. So it's very, very important that the company that we keep is of believers. Yes, we are all not perfect in there, but we have the common ground, which is Jesus Christ. And our goal, all of us, should be to be people or women of purpose. We should keep groups that will help us grow. Groups that will encourage us when we are trodden down. People who will tell us and say, but you know that Christ has given you the strength to go, to take a step. Through fellowship, we will encourage one another and we'll see testimonies coming out of this. We'll uplift each other's spirits. We'll engage in corporate worship. We should find time to just meet and pray for one another. We are all so busy. One thing I've learned after I grew up, I became a mom, 24 hours is not enough. It's not enough, eh? It's like, and sometimes I say, God should have given us 72 hours in a day. And trust me, even that wouldn't be enough. But we have to be purposefully, take some time off and meet with our fellow believers for communion. The Bible warns us about being people who shuns away from fellowship. And God, the Bible speaks about it because it's very important. I went to our connection group meeting on Wednesday after a very, very long time. And I was so glad I went there. There were things that were spoken about that actually reminded me of the goodness of God. Things that reminded me that, you know, we make life difficult by ourselves. Huh? There's so much peace in Christ Jesus, even when there's so much craziness around us. We can choose to be in a place of turmoil or with confusion, or we can be in a place of confusion and at peace. It's a choice. It's a choice. But then, collectively, as believers, as women, we are stronger than we can imagine. Because even one person with the word of God is victorious. Because everything that we are or do is through what Christ did. So we walk in the righteousness of God, in the victory of Jesus Christ. Everything is in Christ Jesus. But just imagine if all of us came together with the same mindset. We're going to change this community. I don't think I would like to be a part of women who will, after 30 years, my kids are grown, I have grandchildren, and we still speak about how we used to have living free, yet there's no impact outside there. Same state of things. We complain about the government. We complain about our neighbors. We complain about Uriomana Kashi wears short things. Those have got nothing to do with us. The things that we're supposed to be concentrating on right now is purpose. Remember, he called us according to his purpose. His, not ours. God didn't just bring us on earth here to just live our lives. People say, YOLO, you only live once. That's not what God called us for. God brought us here with specific reasons. This phone has got a specific reason why we use it. Specific functions. It's the same with us. We are all here because we are doing God's purpose. And God doesn't want us to live an aimless life. Do you know that even those who do not accept Christ Jesus as their Lord and Savior will walk to hell with God still loving them? Because his intention is not that anyone should perish, but then it's a choice. And he says, when he was speaking to the Israelites, today, the moon, the stars are my witnesses. I've given you life and death. And he says, choose life. So in all these things that we do every day in our life, it's a choice. I liked what Sarah said. Where we are today is as a result of our choice. We are alive, we went through whatever we went through, but God has given us an opportunity, a gift of life to rise up, walk up and make a difference. And be that person who helps out people who are in the same situation as you are. We are created for God's pleasure by purpose. There's an end game from this life. There's an end game. We die and then what? We come, we are born, we celebrate birthdays, 50th birthday. I was telling my daughter, for my 50th birthday, I'm believing God I'm going to have 50 cars that are from the time that I was born. 50. We're going to use them as decoration. 50 cars, huh? From my time, from my years, 50 of them. I'm telling you, I believe big because I've seen God do it over and over again. And those cars, I'm telling her, I told my daughters, I think I'll buy them. And please don't look at me and think I may not. God has shown me things, huh? God has shown me things, but what I'm trying to say is that those things don't even matter. There's a purpose and reason why God called us. There's a reason why God called us. As we walk in faith, God always wants us to do it in obedience. It just can't be helter-skelter. Oh, I know the word of God, so I can run. No, God wants us to do it in obedience to his word. And it has to be the leading of the Holy Spirit. So many times, when we do, notice one thing. When you take a step towards what God has instructed you to do, your faith muscle begins to grow. You take a second step of obedience by the leading of the Holy Spirit, the muscle grows stronger. And as you keep on doing that, it strengthens our faith as we witness God's word coming to light. And all glory in those moments goes to God. I love doing things that highlight or gives a spot to God in Christ Jesus. Every time I do something and a client writes to me and says, thank you, I'm a superstar, I write back and say, it's to the glory of God. And that one, purposefully, I don't forget. Because in that moment where you do things, you forget that God gave you the grace. It was by his word of faith that you took it up. You may even start becoming arrogant, forgetting that when there's no grace for you even to lift your leg, you're unable to. So I remind myself all the time that whatever I do, it is to the glory of God. And because God has given me a gift, these I always say it's a gift, even faith is a gift. God has given me a gift of faith. When I get in that point of faith, I'm unstoppable of what I can do. But then I always tell myself, this is not by my strength. I cannot do this without the grace of God. Zero, zero. So it's obedience strengthens us in our faith. We cannot live outside what the word of God says. Huh? And we experience God's miracles and fulfillment every time we live in his purpose. There's no greater thing than one day going to heaven and God saying, well done and faithful servants. You guys went to living free for 8 years. And in the 9th year, you all came together and you did that which I called you for. Pastor Moffat last week said, if you do not do what you're called for, some of us, you enter heaven as though you were just saved from a flame. But that's not us. I don't know about you, but for me, from that sermon, I've pumped myself up. I said, I want well done and faithful servant. You did according to my purpose, in my obedience, by faith you acted. And therefore, that mansion with God there, it is yours. And that's how I'm going to live my life. I always tell my kids I'm going to live a good life here on earth and in heaven. Because Christ came so that we can have it in abundance. We are not going to live a dull life here on earth as women. We know exactly what the Bible says. Galatians 5:1, we have been made free and therefore we will not allow to be yoked again. We will not allow to be yoked again. But then the choice is ours. Christ already went to the cross and God completed everything. It is finished, done. But then what do we have to show for it? For me, I'm going to be, if there's going to be another Bible, I'm going to be in the hall of, what's his faith. I'm telling you. If they're going to add, I want to be added there. I want to live a life that is pleasing to God. I want to live a life that when people see me or when I'm gone, they will tell my children, your mother was Christ-like. And it's out of obedience to the word of God. It is out of creating a deeper relationship with God. And I'm going to live that. And you women here are going to live it with me. Because we're going to hold each other accountable. We are going to commune on each other. We're going to pray for one another when we are weak. God didn't create us for no reason. He created us so that we can be impactful for his glory. He gave us Jesus Christ so that whatever we do, we are doing it in the strength, in the power, in the authority, in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And therefore, why should we sit down and not do anything about us when we are not paying anything? It was all paid for us. What is stopping us? What is stopping us? I love having conversations with myself because sometimes I'm so lost in the things of the world that sometimes I miss what I'm supposed to do. And I honestly love to have conversations with myself. And every time I'm speaking to my husband, when I'm telling him something, I told him I had a conversation with myself and this is what I think should be happening. Seriously, I love having conversations with myself because I always want to know where has God failed me for me to do certain kind of things. And every time I revisit the truth, I find that there's nowhere where God has failed me. It's all because I was disobedient or I was lazy. But that's not who we are. That's not who we are. And I believe all of us here were called to do exploit to the glory of God. You know that the people out there, whatever they do it with passion, with power. But we were told, us in here, we have to take it by force. And we've been given all the tools for us to do it by force. Force means standing up at all costs, eh? Doing it at all costs. But then we do it in the power of what Christ did. The Holy Spirit is there to guide us, to bring us to remember. And sometimes as we're walking in faith, trusting God, praying together, we will hit ourselves on our toes. But the Bible speaks of the Holy Spirit coming to comfort us. He is available. Tools have been given to us. But why are we not doing it? I would not want to come back in 2024. The dates have been given already. And then we come back and we're still the same way that we'll be living. It saddens God, you guys. There are certain things that we do and say, the Holy Spirit is grieved. If somebody can say something about you and you feel bad, mlenga teta lande fidia. After Ifyonam Chitile, I kept her in my home when she didn't have a home. Think about the cost of what Jesus did for us. And yet we trample on everything that Christ did on the cross and choose to walk in disobedience. It breaks God's heart. It does. It does. It is very, very actually heartbreaking to see women as beautiful as all of us here with the Holy Spirit in us not making impacts in our nation. People who don't even know what it means to walk in sin and come to the saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and feel the goodness of God making impact out there. And we make the name of God look bad because they have no reason to come to us. They have no reason to be born again because when they look at us, character same. We are wallowing in financial poverty. We are not going to school. We are not bettering ourselves. We are pathetic partners. We are bad friends. We backstab each other. We say bad of one another. How do you think the other people are going to come and join us? Some people even say Christianity is a cult. Why? Because we've never given them enough reason to see the glory of God manifest in our lives. We have never. But then the goodness of God is that if he gives us life, which is the gift that we have today, we have another an opportunity at it. We can give it a go. We can choose to change now and begin to walk in faith, create an environment for ourselves where we can communion together. We can be women that are lending hands to one another so that all of us can rise and the people out there can say, surely the God that they save is the one that I want to save. People should be able to look at us and say, okay, Ulia, Adichakolwa, that person, when she encountered Jesus, her life changed. And it's been 12, 13 years, and she's never gone back. There must be a good thing out there that even I, when I go there, I'll be like her. But if we're going to be women who know the truth, who can walk in faith and get results, but still our characters are the same, remember, wherever you rise, whatever stage you rise at, character is what is going to keep you there. And if your character is bad, the gifts of God are of no repentance. You have the gift, but you'll not be sustained because the character is bad. But we should be women who are going to keep each other accountable in truth and in love. Not when something happens to me, you go, oh, ladies, I have a prayer request here. Sister Donia did this and that. In the meantime, you're gossiping. That's not coming from a place of love. It's not coming from a place of love. And God does not want us to live like that. We should be women with true intentions against one another. Excuse me, I need water. We should be women who are truly invested in other people's growth, in other women's growth. I'm not going to say people because right now what we want is to see women who are impactful to the glory of God. By the word of God, walking in faith because they have a relationship that is so deep with God. They are able to see that when I'm seated in that corner, I can see Jen there. Jen must be going through a problem and I'm going to go there and speak to her in faith and in love and truth. And together we're going to come back and give testimony and people will see that God hasn't forgotten about us. We are supposed to be such kind of women. Sometimes I feel like I go very rogue on my kids. I have OCD. And seriously, pray for my deliverance. When I see stains in places where people don't see them. And when I see it, my heart, like X, I'll just go like, my pal, I can see paper there, go and pick it up. Grace, move your back from there. I do not want to be. And then when I sit down, I'm like, I do not want to be such a parent. My kids should be happy to see me when I'm home. But then when I walk in, I see a bag in a wrong place. I see a cup where it's not supposed to be. And I'm correcting it. Then when I have a conversation with myself, I ask myself, was that even necessary? That time that I walked in would have been, hey girls, how are you? How's been your day? How have you been? And everything. But I also need women who can speak to me and tell me, Donia, that's unnecessary. What God has called you for is this and that and that and that. And that's where your energy should be going. But then, if we're going to just walk out of this place, go our way. Some of you are sitting next to each other. You didn't even say hello to one another. You just came, sat. I'm telling the truth, ka? So I'm going to give you an opportunity to greet your neighbor so that I don't speak about you. And get the names, please. Okay, I'm sure we are done. Oh my God, my papers. Okay, as we are going towards the end of our sharing, I would just like to encourage you, to encourage all of you to take this seriously, and also let's practice what we preach. Let's practice what we preach. We are great women of valor. Esther made a difference, eh? They would have died that day. But she took a step of faith, walked and went to speak to the king when even she wasn't supposed to be. She said, if I die, I die. But do you see what faith does? And it was in obedience. Huh? Do you see what faith does? It creates opportunities for you to thrive on. She was obedient to the word of God. She went there and she saved a nation. A remnant of Israel was saved, but then it grew out of that remnant. So as we go out today, I would like to urge each one of you, myself as well, I need people that would genuinely help me grow so that together we can make a difference to the glory of God. Amen. So to encourage that, this is what I'm going to do. We are so big. I need 5 groups. I don't know how we're going to do it, but I need 5 groups. So, help me think, how do we do it? I only have 5 questions. Okay, somebody has given us a suggestion that probably we do it, we count we group you by rows. So maybe 1, 2, 3, one group. 1, 2, 3, one group. 1, 2, 3, one group. I don't know. Sort it out, please, guys. We are all born again here. We have the capacity to sort out things. Please, help a sister. So what I would like us to do is, I would like us to take an exercise. This exercise is that we have a question and we're going to write down some content derived from the word of God. And then you have to choose one person who will come and share their answers from this question. Remember, all of us in here are here to learn. I do not know everything. You do not know everything. Only God knows everything. Yes. So would want one person. So, or maybe what we can do is that we can give the first group, you can copy the question, then I'll give this group this question, then just quickly in 5 minutes copy the questions and share with them. 5 minutes all of you should copy. Then the last group to have the last row to have the paper can have the original. So we have 5 questions, so maybe this group can have 2. Which one is the smallest? This. Okay, so you guys can have 1. So 1, 2, 3, 4, you can share that first question. Then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, this question. Please just copy it and pass it down. One, two, three, four, five. This question. you.
Hello. I think I'll select a leader. I'll just choose somebody.
I haven't even read the question.
So, you know, you haven't read the question. You can be the leader. But you can also draw your chairs closer.
Move closer.
Let's just start.
Where's the question? Still going on. For this group, our question is, share a role model or biblical figure who exemplifies unwavering faith and trust. That's part one. The next part says, what qualities or actions of that individual inspire you to anchor your own faith and embrace the power of trust in your life? So the question is still going around. But then if we can have some, I read it again. Share a role model or biblical figure who exemplifies unwavering faith and trust. What qualities or actions of that individual inspire you to anchor your own faith and embrace the power of trust in your life?
I think we all had questions.
Sorry, have you heard the question this time?
Thank you, Kempasi.
Thank you.
but for even from here, it's hard to hear.
Okay. As I was leaving home, I knew what my Bible. That's the only thing that I could remember. My Bible. And the way my family now says, you are wasting time. Let's go to the hospital. I'm busy fidgeting around looking for my Bible. What was next? What was next? I managed to get my Bible and I get into the car. My children have already declared a funeral, thinking I'm gone. But I had one thing in mind. I said, I talked to God. And I talk to God every day. The same faith this lady has is the faith that I have. I said to myself, I've keyed in to God that I won't get old. I'll be beautiful like the way I was born. That's why I still do my nails. And I said, God, I am not dying. I am going to live. This is a testimony. They already started calling people thinking that I'm gone. But you know what? By the end of the day, I started putting scriptures. Long life shall I satisfy you. I said that is one. Covenant with God. I told God that you died on the cross for healing. So I went on and on and on and on. Those were automatically coming into my mind. But I couldn't voice out anything because the voice had already gone. My legs, everything ready, like to say, I'm going to mortuary. So, to cut the story short, this is what I want to tell people.
Hello, I'm so sorry, my apology. I thought lunch was going to be at 13 hours, yet it's at 12 hours. So actually when I gave you the 40 minutes, I thought we still have time. My apologies, but what I would like to ask is that if any of you guys are ready, you can come and do the presentation under a minute. If not, we can continue with our groups. I'm sure you've asked each other names and you know each other. You can continue, but it will be very good for us to listen. Lunch is in like 3 minutes. Yes, yes, a mic will come around. A mic will come around for those that are ready. I'm so sorry, can we listen to the team that is ready? So sorry.
Okay.
My bad.
The first thing that we discovered, our question was, now I have to.
Under a minute, please.
Thank you. So under a minute, our question was, trust often involves surrendering control and letting go of the need to have all the answers. How do you find the balance between taking action and trusting that things will work out as they should? So the first was to acknowledge that we are human and we are limited and that we can't have control of everything. So letting go of that pride and replacing it with acknowledging our need for God. Also looking to God's word so that he can give us guidance, being agile to do the things that you wanted to do, but you now have to change your plan. So letting go of your plan and asking for help because you can't do anything.
Thank you. There's a hand there. You can give the mic there as well. A mic can go there. Under 30 seconds, please.
Good afternoon. Our question was, share a role model or biblical figure who exemplifies unwavering faith and trust. So to answer the first questions, we identified three characters. There's David, Abraham and Mary. The next part of our question was, what qualities or actions of that individual inspire you to anchor your own faith and embrace the power of trust in your life? In terms of Mary, the qualities was her response to the fact that she was told you are going to have a child. Her not having had met with any man. She responded to that, her faithfulness and her obedience. Those were the qualities. In terms of Abraham, on the other hand, the qualities are he had a lot of faith and he still trusted God, knowing that God will provide the sacrifice. For David, the first quality was his humility. The next quality was that he had good communion with God. He had a relationship with him. Thank you.
If you have a mic, please go ahead. You have the mic there.
Thank you. Our question was, in challenging times, doubt can often creep in and test our faith. How do you differentiate between healthy skepticism and allowing doubt to erode your trust? So we had a couple of responses. In challenging times, we had an example of David. After he had gotten back and found that a village had been raided, fear crept in, but what he did was that he consulted God and sought the guidance of God. And then we also had an example of Abraham with Sarah. Abraham was quite afraid by the fact that Sarah was quite beautiful, and he told Sarah to say that in an instance that you are asked, you respond that you are my sister. So in that particular instance, fear crept in, and it led to lying. So you see the difference between the healthy skepticism where David opted to seek God and then Abraham allowing fear to creep in. And the other aspect that we also talked about was that when with erosion of doubt, it is not solution oriented. It usually comes discouraging, condemning. But with healthy skepticism, it asks questions that will help you come up with a solution to that particular situation. And then finally, in understanding the difference between healthy skepticism and the erosion of your faith, it's very important for you to understand what God is communicating in a particular season of your life through your daily devotions, your Christian community, your various engagements. Because one thing that God will do is that he will communicate clearly. And we had the example of Nehemiah, who was communicated to in a vision. Thank you.
If you have a mic, please go ahead. Okay.
Good morning. Afternoon. Good afternoon, everyone. Our question was, reflect on a time when you faced uncertainty or diversity. How did leaning on your faith and trust in a higher power guide you through that situation? What lessons did you learn from that experience? So from this question, we figured that it was a bit on a personal level. So we had a member of our team who shared an experience where she suffered a stroke in her sleep. And as her children and the rest of the family were preparing to take her to the hospital, she held on to her Bible. And even as she was being put in the car and everybody else was panicking and thinking she had gone, she said, "I will not die." Because she believed it wasn't her time. She believed by his stripes we are healed. It was done once. And she believed in that healing. And so she held on to that faith because she knows who she is and who God is. And so from the lessons, she said, you need to have violent faith.
Amen.
Have violent faith. Thank you.
Yes. For our group, for our group, this was the question. Share a personal experience where you had to step out of your comfort zone and trust in something greater than yourself. How did this experience impact your faith and perspective on trust? So my personal experience was that I worked for an NGO that was very desperate for funding. And a donor came with money and said, if you could do research on abortion for young people, we'll give you the money. And I was the researcher in that organization, and my organization wanted me to apply to write a proposal. And I knew that that proposal will have recommendations. And the recommendation, one of them was to introduce safe abortions for young people instead of them doing other clandestine abortions. So I knew that family planning was okay, but abortion is not right. And I refused to write. One day, a donor representatives from the UN came to our organization to discuss that topic. And I was on that meeting. So in that meeting, my boss wanted to show the donors that our organization was geared towards safe abortions. But I could not speak out because I had reservations and I told them. So the donor team realized that we were divided in our own organization and they pressed on for my view. I just said, I have reservations and I'm walking out. So my boss was very upset and wrote me a letter to challenge me, saying, if you are not ready to work for this organization, if you are not prepared to stand by where we are, make up your mind. I just sat down and wrote my resignation letter immediately and submitted it. They were shocked because I had kids in school and I needed the cash, I needed the job, but I could not go against my conscience on that one. So when I wrote that resignation letter, my boss was so scared because the board would come to investigate what happened. And he is the one who said, you can leave. So I left. In the meantime, God had opened the way.
Under 30 seconds, please.
In summary, I got a new job, 3 times better on salary, with a car.
Woo! Talk about faith. Thank you so much, ladies, for your views and for your truths, which are very enriching, and most of us have learned from them. In closing, I'd just like to remind us of all what we shared. Faith has to be built on a strong foundation, which is the word of God. Remember, it is impossible to please God without faith, and He rewards those who diligently seek Him. So meaning you have to have a relationship with Him and know His word. We are not to be moved by what is happening in this world, but we are to be moved by what God says. We are moved by what we know, and that is the word of God. As we come to the closure of this wonderful time that we had, I'd like to thank each one of you for coming in, for bringing in your experience and teaching us. I hope that we'll continue being better women who are going to leave this earth knowing that we did exactly what God purposed us to do. I believe that what you see here is not exactly what God called you to do, because you are great. And together we'll do it, and it's in Christ Jesus and by faith and everything that Christ did. Thank you so much.